Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, celebrating the Aliento Tequila photo exhibit with a tequila tasting and other entertainment, November 8th, 6 to 9 p.m. Ticket info and more at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's homeless population is sitting just under 3,000 people, according to the annual point-in-time count conducted last January. That one-night snapshot of San Antonio's homeless population is the best guess that we have about this group of people who live in San Antonio on the streets, in camps, in shelters, and even in storm drains.
Some parts is dry, some parts is not.
How long have you been down?
About 2 months.
What led you down?
Drugs. We get candle, light it up, and let the wax drip on it. Mm-hmm. And then we just light it, and there's our torch for us to see.
You don't want to be down. Do you?
I mean, there's nowhere to go.
That is a clip from the KSAT 12 news special, Life in the Shadows. Anchor Steve Spreester brings viewers into the world of San Antonio's homeless, and we're talking about that special this afternoon and also about the situation in San Antonio with homelessness. And we invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. You can join our conversation, 210-614-8980. You can also email questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Tweet at us at TPR Source, and we are streaming online right now live at ksat.com. You can check us out and see what we look at this afternoon. With us today to talk about that, we have Steve Spreester with us, anchor for KSAT 12. Steve, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Kenny Wilson is the CEO of Haven for Hope. Kenny, welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
And Brendan Mascoro is the executive director of the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless, SARA. Brenda, hi.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you here.
Thank you, David.
Steve Spreester, tell us more about this documentary special that you produced. It's an hour-long look at San Antonio's population. You call it Life in the Shadows.
Yeah, it actually, this whole story begins in December of 2005 when we aired a special similar to this one, where there was a lot of discussion about the homeless downtown in particular. And we heard from politicians and we heard from business people who weren't happy that there were so many homeless, specifically downtown in the Riverwalk area, which is big tourism. And I said, well, let's go out and nobody's talking to the homeless population. Let's go out and talk to people who live on the street. And that Bill Greehy happened to see that. Patty Radel happened to see it. Then Mayor Phil Hardberger happened to see it. And they took the ball and ran with it. And Haven for Hope was born.
Bill Greehy, then, I guess, the CEO of Valero.
Then CEO of Valero, and then started New Star, and, you know, well-known philanthropist who, you know, has donated to places at St. Mary's University and the, UT Health Cancer Society. And so that was a look roughly 14 years ago. We wanted to know what has changed. And a lot of it has changed from what happened 14 years ago. And I was not that interested in talking to, again, politicians or policymakers. I wanted to talk to people who actually live on the streets. And like you said, you just heard from Gabriel, who lives in one of the storm drains, or Bob, who's lived under a bridge for 3 years, or, you know, Brandon, who was living in a shelled out RV. What do they think about the homeless situation? And people who work with the homeless, like the outreach folks at Haven for Hope.
Kenny Wilson, CEO of Haven for Hope. So we get an idea of kind of like a look at pre-Haven and post-Haven, but looking at these two specials that Steve Spreester and KSAT produced. But we still see that homelessness is a pervasive problem here in San Antonio.
No doubt about it. On the streets, and people we can't see that are truly homeless but living with a friend or a relative. And what we see is, especially in families, that doesn't last. We have right now over 40 families that we don't really have a bed for, but we take them in and have bedding for them and a place to stay that's safe. It is a pervasive problem in all cities. Delegations from cities come to San Antonio often to see Haven for Hope, and I tell them this is a way to do it. I talk about the history, as Steve just did. And I say to them and to everyone I meet, where would these 1,700 people be if Haven wasn't here? Which is what Steve captured in his excellent special the other night. We have 1,700 people at Haven now. Today we have an all-time high of children, 300 children. And not just that, but the many thousands that have come to Haven, have gotten a place to live, where would they be were it not for Haven? So I'm grateful. I appreciate Steve mentioning Bill Greehy and his vision and leadership to get it going. And it works.
So Bill Greehy, he's known for his commitment to excellence. He doesn't take anything second best. Like when they took over the Valero Open golf tournament, it's like, this is going to be one of the best in the country, or else our name is not going to be on it. So
no, he said it's going to be the best in the country. I've heard that story, and it's a great story. And it really typifies the way he thinks. And I've learned so much from him, and I just honor him for sticking with this. Philanthropists are terrific in their commitment. But many of us, even volunteers, will jump on something and stick with it a while and go to the next one. This is where his heart is, and I think San Antonio should be forever grateful. I know thousands of people are.
Just to add one thing, I think there is a lot of misconceptions about the Haven for Hope and what it is and what it's supposed to be. It's not a solution. I mean, it is a resource. And I think a lot of people think of it just as a shelter. It is that, but it's much more than that as well. Transformational center is the word that Bill Greehy likes to use. So I hope to illuminate that a little bit of exactly what they do at Haven for Hope. And the fact that there are a lot of issues that we still have on our streets that we have not addressed in the 14 years since I did the first special.
Brendan Mascoro with the San Antonio South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. How well do we understand the drivers of homelessness?
So we have a lot of folks working on this. We at SARA are in charge of really making sure that we're looking at it as a whole and not just, like you said a minute ago, as just what's happening at Haven. Haven is a resource, but there's also a lot of different folks that are working on. We have so many partners. And so we know that some of the drivers right now have to do with the rising rents, family violence, and we know also that it has to do with the fact that we have a very, very high poverty rate here in San Antonio. So the combination of those three, you know, really drives how many more folks we're seeing on the streets.
But we do see in the special that KSAT produced that drugs is part of it. You know, and is that aggravating the homeless situation in San Antonio, or how does that fall into there?
So there are individuals that are homeless that have substance abuse problems, but a lot of them we also have to look at the different factors that are associated with that. Many of the individuals that have substance abuse problems also have mental health issues that they're trying to self-medicate. I continuously say that we need to look at each and every one of these cases individually, because each and every homeless individual has different needs.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. Join our conversation as we talk about homelessness in San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're going to be back in 1 minute.
Living the dream, not in a dream.
How long have you been doing this?
10 and a half years almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the biggest change that you've seen?
Biggest change, be honest, man, is the increase in the drug usage, you know, by a lot of the homeless folks. I've met a lot of individuals who had great jobs working construction or whatever. they break limbs, they fall, they get hurt, they go on workman comp, workman comp runs out, the insurance run out. So what do? They turn to self-medication, use drugs.
That's a clip from the KSAT 12 special on homelessness in San Antonio. Steve Spreester, you heard him in there. Also, he's here in the studio this afternoon. Kenny Wilson is with us, CEO of Cavin for Hope, and Brenda Mascoro. She is executive director of the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. Sarah, and you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. You can also check us out online. We're streaming at ksat.com. Steve, who were you talking to in there?
That was Ron Brown, who is the one of the outreach coordinators for Haven for Hope. He's also a pastor at Haven for Hope. And he was our guide into a lot of the areas that we went into. And he is the biggest advocate that drug abuse is the biggest problem. Drug addiction is the biggest problem on the street with the homeless today. He was also very clear about the fact he did not think people should be paying panhandlers at the corner, should be giving them cash. Food, drink, yes. Cash, no. That the majority of those individuals were taking that money and using it for drugs. And I want to say where we did that interview was under a bridge not far from SeaWorld, maybe an area where you don't think of homelessness, which is another thing that we found is that it is so spread throughout our community. Bernie has a homeless issue right now. And there were so many needles underneath that bridge, we couldn't even count them all. And he held one up and said, this is about a $10 hit of heroin. And that's where a lot of this panhandling money goes to.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 with Robert. And Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Look, I'm 67. I've worked downtown 39 years. I think it's a blessing that this city has provided this for these people for two reasons. One, we're a cheap labor town. I mean, we know what the inequality is. People are not making it. Number two, the business community has asked the city to run these people out of town because it's not good for tourism. So we have an obligation to help them, and we should continue helping and expand the help. That's my comment.
Robert, thank you for the call. Kenny Wilson is the CEO of Haven for Hope. There are many people who have that attitude that by helping the homeless that we're fostering, nurturing this problem. Can you talk about that?
I can talk about that for hours. We're not nurturing the problem. We're nurturing people. And every day someone comes to me and says, thank you for saving my life. They're not talking about me. They're talking about the services in this city, particularly at Haven, and how they got help. They say, I came here with no hope. I'm leaving with more hope than I've had in my life. We're not fostering a problem. We're diving into what the problem is for that person, that family. And often it's trauma, it's addiction, it's poverty, and we're trying to work around those things, help them understand them. I think and the results speak for themselves. We've gotten many thousands of people off of the streets to Haven, to a partner, to a better place to live.
So Haven for Hope is located just west of downtown.
Correct.
Ideally situated, right next door, there's a drug treatment facility that you can help people in the sobering units there, right?
Correct.
And the jail's there. There's a lot of law enforcement around if ever you need it. But unfortunately, fortunately, and tell me if we got an answer or not, you know, that'll be fine. There's also a lot of development happening in that area as well. Downtown UTSA is building. A lot of people are wondering about, you know, is there going to be clash between what people want to see happening to the old Cattleman Square part of downtown and having Haven for Hope right there?
I think Haven for Hope is an asset for the city. I think it's a great location for what we do. I think the central location is important. I've talked to Graham Weston, Dr. Amy at UTSA, others. And Dr. Amy is a research scientist. I said, you have a giant petri dish of research material at Haven for Hope. We're going to be talking about that more. And I think that Haven being there, the jail being nearby.
The new Via Transit place.
It hasn't stopped development. I'm excited to have those co-locate. And I will tell you that I remember, like Robert, who just called, I've worked downtown for many years too. I remember before Haven that there was some dark scenery downtown with the homeless and with drug users and pushers. And so I think we've got a – yesterday I had two people from the Texas legislature. I'm not going to say who because Steve didn't want to talk about politicians. But
in my special. We could talk about them too.
But they said, this isn't a shelter. I said, exactly. That this is not a shelter. And I would say that to the neighbors. I remember what it was like years ago. And we have, I think, a beautiful campus. Often people say, I feel like I'm on a college campus. That's because we keep it clean. We work hard at it.
And there's all these wraparound services. I mean, you're lifting people up. You're not keeping people down.
It's all about lifting people up. Yeah, we don't keep anyone there. We don't say you have to be here for a certain period of time. We want them to be ready to leave.
All right. Let me go to another caller. The number is 210-614-8980 with Philip. Philip, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yes, actually, I am working temporarily through the city of San Antonio at CAM Ministries doing a shower program that the city has addressed. And this is on the far east side of downtown at the 100 block of McCullough. And so the city is still recognizing that there is some of the population that's not being serviced, but they're doing these things like the shower program. Also, we do have representatives there from SARA as well, trying to get them registered into the database of homeless here in the city of San Antonio. And so I know that the city is still continuing to work on improving the process and services that are being provided to the citizens that are in need of finding homes.
Right. Philip, thank you for that call. And so, Brenda Muscoa, can you tell us more about this program? You're with the executive director of SARA.
Sure. We found out is that we need to have a coordinated access system. We call it coordinated entry. And so instead of folks going into the system, the homeless system, from four or five or six different areas and getting the same or different assessments at each and every one of those locations, we have what we call hubs. And those hubs are locations where it's the same database, the same application that everybody fills out with the same questions, and then we can screen them to really truly figure out what kind of housing is needed for that specific individual. So one of our biggest hubs is Haven for Hope. About 75% of the homeless population enters the homeless system through Haven for Hope. That's one of our hub systems, locations. But we also have different hubs. This is a new one, and we have one at the downtown library. We also have one at CM Ministries, and I can't remember where the other one is. But what we're trying to see is where we can have these hubs located. So individuals that don't enter the system necessarily from Haven for Hope enter from one location and let us know that they're homeless, and we can properly assess them and offer different resources for those individuals.
So, Brenda, can we talk about how there's different types of homelessness?
Absolutely.
We have families that they fall one paycheck behind, mm-hmm. and then they get evicted, and then they have no place to go. And that's very different from somebody who is dealing with drug addiction or mental health issues, who don't have the executive function to, you know, get on in life, and they need treatment, and they need support, and they need medication. So do we have varying services that are going to help these different types of folks who are dealing with different circumstances?
So I'm so very glad you brought up the question, just because that's absolutely the case. Everyone is different, and we need different tools in our toolbox. And, you know, it's happened when I first started in position, when we mentioned something like housing first, people run away quick, or they have their opinions about what housing first may be. And there's misconceptions, like there are misconceptions about Haven for Hope not being a transitional center and being a shelter and so on and so forth. But Housing First can be a tool in this toolbox that we have. And I think we need to realize that we need a lot of tools to be able to fix this this problem and not just one tool. And so Housing First is not housing only. It provides wraparound services, but it houses individuals that are chronically homeless. So that's one type of homeless individual that have been in the streets for quite a while and have disabilities, right? And so they have very different needs than the family that, again, just recently got evicted. So, again, I think we need different tools for each and every one of the different cases.
And Kenny Wilson, CEO of Haven for Hope, families show up. We fell a paycheck behind. We lost our apartment. We've got no place to go. Here we are. Can you help us? And you say, we're full. No, you don't. You never say we're full.
We say every bed is taken, but come on in. We welcome you. And we have families. I see them every night. They're sleeping in a conference room or in our chapel, which is at the center of the campus, and they're grateful. They've come to us, say, we're living in the car. We got kicked out of my grandmother's house. And many of the – and evictions are a big part of it. And for someone that – you know, if some people get evicted, they've got family members or friends to rely upon. These people don't.
Right. They have no.
They don't have a cushion.
Familial safety net. Mm-hmm. Right.
So Haven for Hope, San Antonio becomes their safety net. They come to us, say, can you help me? Yes. And many of them, Brenda talks about Housing First and housing people. These families, many of them were able to house within a week. We have funding that we obtain to maybe we pay a rent deposit and a couple of months' rent, or the first and last month's rent, or 6 months' rent, depending on the situation. They've got a job or they're getting a job, and they move on.
They need a bus pass. They need things that you can help provide.
Again, people say, everything I needed was here. We have, on the 22-acre campus, not just the 260 Haven employees, we have 184 nonprofit agencies that provide services at Haven for Hope. Many are located at Haven. Some come to Haven. Some we refer to. But the systems for, you mentioned identification recovery. That's complicated. Getting benefits is complicated. It's a complicated system. So if you don't have transportation or maybe the mental health capacity to navigate a complicated bureaucratic system, it's not going to happen. We have all that at Haven.
So Steve Spreester, anchor at KSAT 12, you're the guy who tells us about horrible things every night.
Yeah.
What's it like to report on a story this way, a lot longer, deeper, trying to give your viewers more context?
That's not usually the way I introduce myself, David, but, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciated the fact that I was given months to work on this and to go out and to form it in the way that we found it. There was a tight-knit group of us, three photographers, graphics, some producers, who went out and said, let's try and do what we did 14 years ago and see what we find. It is a rarity in the television business, I don't care what market you're in, to have somebody say, we're going to give you an hour in prime time from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night. We're going to take off How to Get Away with Murder and replace it with
How to Be Homeless
special.
yeah,
a homeless special. I mean, you worked in television. You know just how rare that is. And it's even rarer for them to say, and we're going to run it without commercials. We're going to give people tips in where the commercials would normally be, like one thing you can do to help the homeless. Or, you know, like Patty Radel talking about getting to know homeless and that the average age of a homeless person in this country is 11. It's not a 30 or 40 year old panhandler on the corner. And so, yeah, it's a rarity for me to be able to do something like this. And I'm thankful to KSAT but I really thank the people that opened up to me more than that. I mean, when you're sitting down with a young man and he tells you he's living in a drain tunnel because he has no place else to go and he's hooked on meth, that's a guy who's opening up his soul to you.
Steve Spreester is anchor for KSAT 12. We're talking about homelessness in San Antonio. They have done an hour-long special in-depth report. We're streaming right now on KSAT.com. You can also view it there as well. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
I work on the streets. I go anywhere where there's individuals living under the bridge, in the woods, abandoned buildings, cars. So I'm going to leave you this, which will allow you to go into the warehouse and get the vouchers that you need.
Our concern is growing about families who are homeless. Families come to us more and more. We were evicted. Even though we're full, we will not turn away a family. We give them cots and bedding and food and clothing, and they may sleep in a conference room for a while.
This is the Source on Texas Public Radio. That's a clip from Life in the Shadows, a special report by KSAT News. With us is Steve Spreester, the anchor of that report and your nightly news guy. Also with us is Kenny Wilson, CEO of Haven for Hope. You heard him there talking about families. And Brenda Mascoro is the executive director of the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless, SARA. So, Steve, help us back announce that clip. Who were you first hearing from, the outreach person?
Yeah, that's Monica from Haven for Hope. And she, I think because she's so good at it, is usually the go-to person when there are families on the street. And we went out with her and saw her, you know, for lack of a better word, in action, interacting with families and trying to get these families off the street or into some shelter. One of the families that she dealt with, Haven for Hope has a partnership with the city of San Antonio, and the city of San Antonio will pay for a hotel room for these families for a certain time just to get them off the street. And so she was dealing with that. She also dealt with a young family that's van had broken down off I-35. I think it was near 35 in Walters. And they were sitting in a van with a sign on it that said, need help, food, money, anything is appreciated. We showed up and they had a 3-month-old baby with them. They would not come with her. And she was almost in tears in our special, which you can actually see on KSAT.com right now if you didn't see it last week. Monica was almost in tears because she said, I wish I had the power to take these people and take them to a shelter and tell them they have to get the help that we offer, but I can't do that. And this family was just convinced that they would be separated if they went to Haven for Hope. And it wasn't true. She told them it wasn't true, but they wanted to try their luck on the street instead of at a place for like Haven for Hope.
And we also have the SAM shelter. That's another resource that we have. And so follow up on that, Kenny Wilson, families coming to you, they have a little bit of bad luck, their car breaks down. A job gets lost. They fall behind in the bills. They just need. If we don't help them at this critical time, they go from transitional homeless to permanent homeless. Right.
The children. That's been my biggest surprise at working at Haven for Hope. It's a growing concern for us. And Steve captured it well on his special. Thank you for doing that special, Steve. I'm going to make a guess on that family. I don't know. Exactly. So this isn't a HIPAA violation because I'm not speaking about them particularly, but what typically, I'll go back to an earlier discussion, drugs. If a family comes in and they test positive for serious drugs, that's a CPS issue. That's a safety issue for children. That may be the reason they didn't come. I've seen that happen. Again, we have 300 children right now. Let me tell you something that happened today, and Steve sent it. Reporter out there, tomorrow is Halloween, today is Halloween at Haven for Hope. 300 children that are in a place that's not their home, they don't have a home, Haven is their home. Our 260 employees, 184 partners have all gone in to decorate our main building, hallways, themes. Every child has a costume, every child has a bucket. We have a truckload of candy. We had young children this morning. We'll have families and kids in school at 5:30. It's one of my favorite days of the year because here are children that don't have a home. That you said it, David. They didn't sign up for this. And yet we're creating a positive environment, a happy experience, a memorable, something they may remember the rest of their life.
Brenda Mascoro with SARA. Can you add to that? And then we get to some calls.
Sure. Recently, we received a grant for ending youth homelessness in Bexar County and San Antonio. And I'm also very grateful for the attention we're getting, because we need the awareness and the education, because there's so much more. It was an hour special and it was great, but there's so many elements that are still missing. And one of them is youth homelessness. And it's a very important piece that we need to start talking about and really start supporting ending youth homelessness. We're almost missing an opportunity, because if you think about this, if we intervene early, then we won't have to deal with as much chronically homeless problems as we deal with now. So I think that if we can end that cycle of homelessness early, we can really have an impact on our homelessness rates in San Antonio and Bexar County.
So I think the lesson we learned from when we started talking about veteran homelessness is that when we take this big blob of a problem and start breaking it down and putting a finer point on it, we can find solutions for specific issues. Veteran homelessness, this was a population dealing with a lot of PTSD issues, and we saw there was a lot of money we could find for these individuals, and we could tell a very compelling narrative, and we could help deal with veteran homelessness. So we can talk about youth homelessness, we can talk about domestic violence homelessness, we can talk about transitional homelessness, families that fall a little bit behind due to the housing crunch. Maybe we can find solutions for each of those lanes rather than get overwhelmed by this blob that we call homelessness. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely correct, and that's what we're working on.
That's
We have benchmarks.
Well, we'll talk about it in a more elevated way, and we can get more support.
Absolutely. We have benchmarks for all of them. I have already proposed that in 2020, Bexar County and San Antonio, that we start a campaign to truly end youth homelessness. And so we need to leverage the momentum that we received with this grant that we received here in Bexar. It was the largest grant in the nation, and it was for $6.8 million. But I think it's going to take the whole community really coming together and starting a campaign next year in 2020 to start working on how do we end youth homelessness.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Steve. The number is 210-614-8980. Steve, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, David.
Hey.
I'm a tourism professional. I do tours in the downtown area, and we oftentimes talk to our guests about homelessness. It's a question that comes to us very regularly. And the best story I can tell my guests is that a few years ago I was cycling through downtown. I lost my wallet, and about 2 years later I received a letter in the mail that had a return address of Haven for Hope Way. And I opened the letter. There's a letter from a guy who said, "I found your wallet 2 years ago. I was an alcoholic. I was on the street. I took the money, but I got into Haven. I'm working." He was working his 12 steps, and he sent me had a couple of money orders in there where he was making his restitution. So, it does work, but it really points out that the people need to be the people that are going to get the success from it have to be motivated to work the programs and move their way up. And that there's where the challenge is those, because we see the chronically homeless all the time, the same people.
All right, Steve, thank you so much for that call.
Thanks.
Got a lot of callers here. I'm going to go straight to Dana. Mm-hmm. Dana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. When Haven for Hope first opened up, it seemed like they moved a lot of services into the campus, but they did not increase the capacity of what was available in the city. At the same time, the city came down hard on a lot of mom-and-pop ministers that were caring for the homeless, and they were basically put out of business. And they could still be doing that if they hadn't been basically forced out of the business. Thank you.
Okay, Dana, we lost you there, but I think we got the point. So Kenny Wilson, CEO of Haven for Hope, there are some small mom-and-pop outfits, feed people under the bridge, they try to provide services to the homeless as best they can, and they have some resentment about Haven for Hope. They feel like that you are keeping them from doing what they're trying to do. I've heard this.
I have too, and we're not trying to prevent anyone from doing anything. As far as mom and pop operations, we have a nonprofit organization on our campus. They could be anywhere, but I saw what they were doing elsewhere, and I invited them to come have a free office, one employee, and then volunteers. So we don't at all minimize what anyone can do. If they help one person a year, that is fabulous. As far as resentment, I wasn't there in the beginning. I think that Haven is unique in that it was kind of born big, and it was an effort to co-locate services. And again, I think that was a brilliant move because I now understand the population. They can't navigate a complicated multi-geography system.
And Steve Spreester?
I remember when it opened and we did several stories, and it was set up, Haven for Hope was set up to be kind of a place, a resource that if you needed services and you were homeless, go to the Haven. But I think, and I get some of the resentment that was out there. I certainly remember it, and we reported on some of it. The same things that you're hearing, David, is that there were some small shelters or feeding people under the bridge that felt like they were forced out because people were like, don't go there, go to the Haven. And the police department would take people to the Haven. The fire department would take people to the Haven and things of that nature. I'm not sure it's anything that necessarily the Haven did, but that's kind of what it was set up like. To her other point, I think the fact that you've got one facility where you can get dental, eye, medical, mental, I mean, all these services under one roof is a minor miracle that they were able to get all these different organizations to work together in one place.
All right, we're taking a break. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about homelessness in San Antonio. With us is Steve Spreester, anchor of KSAT 12, Kenny Wilson, CEO of Haven for Hope, and Brenda Mascoro, executive director of South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless, Sarah. And our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. Last year, the city of San Antonio spent $9 million on homeless mitigation, going to nonprofits. The bulk of that did go to Haven for Hope. This year, an additional $560,000 was set aside for the 2020 budget to fund recommendations that come out of the future strategic plan to deal with homelessness, specifically towards emergency overflow programs for families. So Kenny Wilson, what does it look like with funding for Haven for Hope and homelessness overall? It seemed like that's a lot of money, but is that enough?
It's a lot of money. It's not enough. And I look at some other cities. I don't want to disparage any city, but the amount of money that is being spent in some cities is huge. And yet there's a lack of coordination. I think San Antonio is known for its collaborative spirit, and I think we have it here regarding the homeless issue. Homeless individuals and families, and I think there needs to be additional funding to create a kind of in perpetuity, sustainable source of funding to provide for those that are homeless for the long term.
But when Steve Spreester, when Haven for Hope was launched, and that was partly inspired by your groundbreaking special report that you had 14 years ago, that was done with a combination of public and private dollars.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that's part of the reason that it works is it's not all private and it's not all public. It is a collaboration. And to what Kenny just said, I mean, this is a unique city. And I think One of the reasons also when I sat down and talked to Mayor Phil Hardberger when we did the original special was we had just housed all these people from Hurricane Katrina at the time, and we had found them shelter. And they're not San Antonians. And what are we doing for our own? And he was one of the main voices that said we need to do better. And I think the private-public partnership is great. I do have concerns what happens when Bill Greehy is no longer with us and putting the money that he raises and the money.
Well, it's not just the money, but his presence.
His presence.
Because he goes actually to campus.
What happens to the future of Haven?
I have a meeting with him today at 2 o'clock.
And Brendan Mascoro, can you talk about, from the point of view of Sarah, how where is the leadership coming from? Where are the dollars coming from?
So I think that we have also missed a couple of opportunities to leverage other funding. Sarah, through our application process, bring in $9.7 million. Well, we brought in $9.7 million last year. This year, we're hoping to bring more like $11.5 million from HUD funding, specifically to house homeless individuals, chronically homeless individuals. But we're behind. If you see what other communities our size with our homeless population are leveraging across the nation, it's a lot more than that. And I think it's, again, we're so very grateful for, you know, having such resources such as Haven for Hope and so on and so forth. But we really have to look at it from as a whole. So what all needs to be leveraged, not just for this one tool, but for all the other tools. And so I think that we also have some opportunities to leverage other funding that we haven't focused in previously. Sarah is such a young organization. We've been around a little bit over 3 years, but we're already trying to figure out how we can maximize the available funding from outside of San Antonio as well. So I think it's going to be a combination of a couple different solutions, but one of them is really trying to work together as a community to leverage all funding and not just what we've already.
Here's another clip from that special.
We have a homeless guy that we just met.
What did you describe me as the very first thing?
I don't know. What did I say?
A homeless man. I got a homeless man here. Yeah. I got a homeless man.
You
I got
didn't
a homeless
like that.
Who
you
would?
Think, you think you have a homeless man?
Who would?
How would you describe yourself?
How? I have a home. My home is the same as your home. In his home, in his home, in his home. You know what I call that home? Planet Earth.
Steve Spreester, that's a clip from your special. He said he was addressless. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, actually. He didn't have an address, but he didn't like being referenced to as homeless. And that was a clip that I've had a lot of people comment on. It's with Bob. He lives under a bridge off 410, not far from the Alamo Heights area. And he's been there for 3 years. And I was making a phone call to try and get him some medical help. And I was talking to the doctor at the time. And when I referred to, I have a homeless man with me, he doesn't see himself as homeless. He doesn't like that term. He says, I don't have an address. I live on the street, but I have a home. As a matter of fact, he said, Planet Earth, that's my home. So I thought it was important to leave that clip in there because I think it shows a real human moment between two people. And even though he was correcting me, I'm not so sure he wasn't right to correct me. And I think even the terms we use when we talk to people who live on the street, yep. You know, maybe there's some things. Are we dehumanizing them by calling them homeless? I think that's something that, you know, because to me, we're talking about people here.
Right. So, Kenny, is there a difference between talking about a homeless man and a man who is homeless? He's a man.
Well, I think Steve is right. I think terminology is important. I think it's bad to label anybody. And a label that I hear from time to time from people I really admire and respect is they talk about those people. What are those people? How are they? My favorite verse in the Bible is rich and poor have this in common. They're all a child of God. And I think it's important how we characterize people. And we are careful not to talk about homeless people. We say These are people that don't have a home right now. And that says a lot. It says who they are, where they are, and that we're trying to get them a home.
Brenda, is it important that we get this right internally in our minds that we have, because language defines our viewpoint.
Absolutely. I would agree. And also, you know, my ask when asked what we could do for the homeless was to get to know them as individuals, because they are very much people like you and me, and everybody has their own personal story. And so I couldn't agree more. Once we label individuals as homeless, you're also labeling that 11-year-old little girl and so on and so forth as just a homeless individual.
Let me go to the phones with Don. Don, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I pastor a small church, and we've been partnering with Haven for Hope since the campus opened, providing religious education services twice a month. And, you know, our city is growing, and it appears that the homeless problem situation is growing as well, so much so that, you know, there are no sacred spaces on campus. Everything available is being used to house folks at night and when the weather gets cold especially. What are the plans, I guess, or are there any plans to kind of expand the main campus so that support services like religious and spiritual training can continue in certain time frames?
All right. Thank you for that call. Kenny Wilson, CEO of Haven for Hope.
Don, thanks for your service there and for what you provide, and I feel your pain. The Haven has grown in terms of population. I think you're exactly right. Our city has grown so much and continues to grow. And I think there's a commensurate growth in the number of those that don't have a home. We're working on the space issue. We don't have any contiguous land on which to build. We are renovating a building now that will be completed in about a year. As far as expansion, we think more in terms of a site somewhere that provides what is called permanent supportive housing, a multifamily project that has the services that are at Haven in that location where people can live successfully and be followed and cared for and services that they need on a regular basis.
So I want to know more about this Housing First Village. That kind of sounds like what you're talking about. And so, Brenda Squirrel, explain what is Housing First? I mean, you have about 2 minutes, I'm sorry.
Sure.
And how this would be a different kind of solution.
So we believe in the fact that some individuals are not individuals that can be transformed because of a severe mental health issues or severe problems. They need wraparound services. These are the folks that we have to prioritize for this permanent supportive housing. We currently in San Antonio have permanent supportive housing. We have, I was asking for the numbers, and we have 2,154 permanent supportive housing units, either scattered or site-based in San Antonio, but we need a lot more than that. With that said, we also know that they're successful. We have a 93% utilization rate of those, and then we have a housing sustainment rate of 98% with our permanent supportive housing units. That means that 98% of the units that are in place, the people stay housed because they have those wraparound services and they don't go back into homelessness. 98% is a fantastic number.
Steve Spreester, what's your big takeaway from the documentary style of special Life in the Shadows?
I think my big takeaway is that homelessness is still an issue here, but it is morphing and changing. It's spreading out from downtown. Downtown is still an issue there, but not necessarily like it used to be. And that nobody that I talk to wants to be homeless. I did not talk to one person who said, I want to live on the street. I'm happy in this drainage tunnel or this burned out RV or under this bridge.
Steve Spreester is anchor for KSAT 12. His documentary style broadcast special is called Life in the Shadows. You can see it online at ksat.com. Kenny Wilson is the CEO of Haven for Hope. Brenda Mascoro is the executive director of the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless, SARA. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.